All right, let's get our Bibles and let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Oh, children, you can be dismissed at this time for children's church. It's good for our kids to see the Lord's Supper, and that's why we kept them in for that time. Isn't that exciting? You know, there are churches that just don't have any kids in them. We've got quite a few. And sometimes it is nice to send them to the other room, though, isn't it? But I'm glad that they are here in our church. And thank you, parents, for the ministry that you have with them on a regular basis. I know it's grueling and difficult at times, but this is the future. And we want to encourage our kids. Philippians chapter 2. As I was looking at this passage of Scripture, I was reminded many years ago of memorizing this book. It was a wonderful time for me going through working as a security guard and going around empty buildings with nothing much else to do but to mumble to myself. So I said, if I'm going to mumble to myself, I'm going to mumble Scripture. And this particular chapter was a blessing to me as a young man and remains to be. A centerpiece in how I desire to live my life, though I fall so far short. I remember as I was studying this at some other point, a cartoon that came before me and I saw, and I'm a very visual person and I like pictures. That's why we do so many pictures on Sunday nights. It just helps me to remember things as I'm putting it together in my own thinking. But I remember this particular cartoon that had two people in it. It was just a pen and ink drawing. And one person had one of those thought bubbles over the top of their head. And the other one had another thought bubble over the top of their head. And then underneath, it told you what both of them were thinking. Though the top bubble on this guy's head looked different than the bubble on this guy's head. This guy here, there were no letters, there were no words in the bubble. It was just a bunch of lines and they were all going up and down like this, like chicken scratching, like that, up and down. I said, oh, that's interesting. Then we go to the other guy's picture, and then his thought bubble, all the lines were horizontal like this, going back and forth like this. And the translation at the bottom of the cartoon was, you think funny. And that's what both of them were thinking at the same time. You know, we look sometimes at different people and we think they think funny. We are told that there are five love languages. We are told that women are from Venus and men are from Mars. We are told that young people think differently than parents do. And parents are constantly trying to figure out, what are you thinking? And the kids are saying, you don't understand me. We do think differently, and sometimes because we do think differently, there is disharmony. Who can understand a two-year-old, for Pete's sake? There's a lot of this disharmony and this confusion in our lives because we don't think alike. And it happens also in churches. We all kind of have our own way of how it was done in the past and how we think it should be done and who we think should be doing this and who we think should be doing that. And we get into our own thinking and we have difficulties and troubles. Turn a page over in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These two ladies were not in accord with one another. They were not like-minded. They had their own personal agenda, and it was causing difficulty. Well, how in the world do we get, though we are different people, though we have different personalities, though we have different strengths, though we are male and female, though we are older and we are younger, though we come from different places and we have different experiences and we all have different types of lives, different talents and gifts, there are some things that we must think the same way on. And it must happen from within, and it only comes as we walk with the Lord. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1. We'll just look down through verse 11 where we have already read this morning. And today we're going to be looking at an exhortation to Christ-like thinking. We're going to be looking at a couple of examples of Christ-like thinking. Then we will see the exercise of Christ-like thinking and the exaltation of Christ-like thinking. So let's go there in Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ Jesus, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's go on. But wherefore, my brethren, or my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I heard a man one time preach a whole message, a French man speaking, do all things without murmurings and disputings, and that still sticks in my mind. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Pay attention to that word, like-minded. It's mentioned in verse 2, it's mentioned in verse 20, and the only other place it's mentioned is in Romans chapter 15, and we will look at that today. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, and the things which are not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we would ask that you will work in each of our hearts. Work in each of our minds. I pray that you'll help us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in the way we live and in the way we think. Help us to have this mind of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are many ways of thinking. A lot of us have our own life philosophies, and we've had them before we became Christians, and there are a lot of other people that look at Christians and say, you don't make much sense. Really believe that great persecution is heading our way because the world doesn't think like we do. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, the way your emotions and your thinking. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You know we're supposed to live a certain way as a Christian. We know we're supposed to act a certain way as a Christian, but it doesn't happen until we start thinking like a Christian. You know, we've seen the joy of Christian friendship. We've seen the joy of Christian service. Today we're going to look at the joy of Christian thinking, or Christ-like thinking. We need to think like Jesus Christ. The Greeks used to say, be wise, know thyself. The Romans said, be strong, discipline yourself. The religionists say, be good, conform yourself to the rules. Epicureans or Bohemians say, be sensual, satisfy yourself. Educators say, be resourceful, expand and improve yourself. Psychologists say, be confident, assert yourself. Materialists, people who live for things, say, be possessive, please yourself, get what you want. Ascetics, people like the Buddhists, say, be lowly, suppress yourself. Humanists say, be capable, believe in yourself. The proud say, be superior, promote yourself. But Christ says, be unselfish, humble yourself. That is the mind of Christ. In the first four verses of Philippians chapter 2, we have an exhortation to Christ-like thinking, or an expectation that we will have Christ-like thinking. The exhortation is to think like Jesus. Now we've already observed the Lord's Supper, and we've already read that great kenosis passage, and how Jesus Christ left all for others. That is the idea here. Look at the last word in verse 4. This is a key to what we should be thinking, how we should be like-minded. The idea is, every man also think on the things of others. You know the little acronym, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you, spells joy. When we are asserting ourselves, when we are pushing ourselves, when we are exalting ourselves, and somebody else is doing the same thing in the same room, it leads to conflict, and it leads to disagreement, and it leads to all sorts of strife in our homes, in our marriages, in the workplace, in a church, everywhere we go, because we want our way rather than trying to do things God's way. Let me do the Pelletier paraphrase of verses 1 through 4. And you can follow along there and see if I can help you to understand how I see this passage is after my study this week and over the years. Verse 1, since there is encouragement and loving comfort in Jesus Christ, since there is loving comfort in Jesus Christ, since there is fellowship and the constant presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, since God is indeed compassionate and sympathetic in His affection for us, verse 2, bring joy to others by thinking and acting the same way Jesus thought and acted, loving others, living in harmony with others, keeping Christ's goals and objectives in mind at all times. Verse 3, don't do anything for your own selfish ambition or personal rivalry. Don't be conceited, arrogant, and proud. Rather, humbly consider other people to be more important and valuable than you are. Verse 4, while you do have to be responsible enough to take care of your own needs, be sure to keep the needs and desires of others in your thinking as you make your plans. Obviously, there are differences among people. Obviously, we have different gifts and talents and abilities. There's nothing wrong with having those kind of differences. But we must be willing, for the sake of the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, to put down our abilities for the sake of others. We don't naturally want to go witnessing. We don't naturally always want to love other people. Love is giving of yourself sacrificially, expecting nothing in return. By nature, we tend to want to manipulate situations and do loving things so that people will give us what we want. That's not the way a Christian lives. That's not the way we are supposed to be living. We're going to have differences, and when we have them, we've got to get together and say, how would Jesus handle this situation? What would Jesus do here? Now, he says here in verse 1, be like-minded. Obviously, they were not. You don't tell somebody to do something that they're already doing. You have to work at this. John Phillips, in his commentary, he wrote this. He said, what Paul was after was not just a patching up of differences, but absolute unity of mind, heart, and purpose in the Lord. Nothing less would do. They were to bury their disagreements so deep that they could never dig them up again. What did Jesus do? We want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he aware of our sin? Absolutely. He sent his son to die, or Jesus died for our sins, to take away the sins of the world. That's why he came. But when he did that, how did Jesus think? He put them behind his back. He buried them in the depths of the sea. He removed our guilt as far as the east is from the west. His sins, he does not remember them anymore. I have a song on my iPod of a trio singing, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. That's not the way we think sometimes, is it? Oh, I'll forgive, and I won't forget. We hold grudges. We hang on to things. We're not thinking of what's best for others. When we sin, we want to be forgiven, don't we? But we don't always want to offer that same grace to others. Harold Ironside said this, it is very evident that Christians will never see eye to eye on all points. We're so largely influenced by habits, by environment, by education, by the measure of intellectual and spiritual apprehension to which we've attained, that it is an impossibility to find any number of people who look at everything from the same standpoint. How can we be of that one mind, like-minded, like Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul explains it elsewhere when he says, I think also that I have the mind of Christ. That's how he was able to minister to people who were very different than him. The mind of Christ is the lowly mind. And if we are all of this mind, we shall walk together in love, considering one another and seeking rather to be helpers of one another's faith than challenging each other constantly. Look in your Bibles back to the Gospel of Matthew. Turn there with me. We want to have the mind of Christ. How did Jesus Christ think? If we all think the same way, we'll have peace. The only way Christians are going to think the same way is to think like Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We look at this passage for other reasons sometimes, for comfort. But in this passage of Scripture, Jesus himself describes how he thinks. He gives us an explanation of his own thought process. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So how does Jesus Christ describe his thinking process? I am meek and lowly of heart. I am someone who is willing to humble myself and be what I should be for others, to be able to give to others what they need. So the exhortation is to think like Jesus Christ, which means to think selflessly, to not be selfish, to be humble. Now, humility is a funny thing. It's one of those things you've heard about the guy who wrote the book Humility and How I Attained It and no longer was humble. It's a hard thing to attain to. Well, let's see how Christ did it. Let's go to his example back in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. We've read a little bit about it already. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you. This is the way you should be thinking. This is how a Christian thinks. This is Christ-like thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay? So, Jesus was aware of who he was. He was aware of the fact that he was God. He didn't have to strive for it. He didn't have to fight for it. He didn't have to push others out of the way to get there. It's who he was. It's who he has always been. It's who he was before creation. It's who he will be after creation and all of time is over, and for all of eternity he is going to be God. Because he is God. John Phillips says, to pretend to have abilities we know we do have is to pretend to not have abilities that we know we do have is not humility, but hypocrisy. In other words, there's nothing wrong with recognizing the fact that God gave you a voice to sing, or a mind that works like an engineer, or a strong body to accomplish his work for your life. Nothing wrong with acknowledging the fact that God made you beautiful or handsome, as my daughter calls me. Nothing wrong with acknowledging those things. It's when we revel in those things that it becomes a problem. Jesus Christ, what did he do? Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. It wasn't something he had to strive for. There was another creature who said, I will be like the Most High. That's the opposite of the way Jesus Christ thinks. He was cast out of heaven for thinking that way. I will ascend to the throne of God. And God said, no, you won't. And one day he's going to spend all of eternity in a lake of fire that was created for him because of his arrogance and his pride. Jesus didn't have to strive to be God because he was God. He knew who he was. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but, verse 7, made himself. The idea there is morph. That's the Greek word morphe. Morph. It is to make yourself into something else. You've seen these on television programs. You've read about this in books, in literature, in fictional things. But this is a reality. God became miraculously, as only he could do it, in the form of man. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. It is like, I guess an illustration that was going through my mind is a bodybuilder who can lift 500 pounds above his head and throw it to the ground and lift it again and do all sorts of things and tremendous feats of strength. And yet his wife hands him their infant child and he's as gentle as any of us. He could crush the child in his hands, but he's gentle because he's chosen to be so. This is what Christ did for us. The God of creation, the God who spoke and bang, it was there, said, I'm just going to go down and be like one of them. I'm going to show them how they should live. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a bond slave. That's the word doulos we've talked about. that Greek word. It's the idea of going to the doorpost and having the awl put through your ear and saying, I love you, so I will serve you for my life. Not because I have to, but because I choose to. He became the bond slave to God the Father. And if you study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see over and over again, he says, I came to do his will. Even as he was facing the cross, his humanity kicked in. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, the worst kind of death imaginable. The beatings, the piercings, the torture, the nails, the spear, the slivers in his blood beaten back. And he did it all for us. That is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You've seen the exhortation. You've seen the example. There were two other examples given in this passage of Scripture, and I won't elaborate. But you see Timothy, a young man, left his home, went to Philippi, worked with those people. He gave of himself. He sacrificed of himself. Paul said, I have no one else like-minded, for all speak their own. But not Timothy. He thinks like me, as we think like Christ. And Timothy was dearly beloved of the Apostle Paul and of the Philippians because of it. He gave of himself. Epaphroditus in that chapter. Epaphroditus was from Philippi. He came to Paul to minister on the behalf of the Philippians, who he brought a gift to Paul. Sweet smelling savor, a gift, a wonderful thing, a comforting thing. And he did it at his own peril. It says he became sick almost unto death so that he could serve others. That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. That's what we need to be striving for. We've seen now the exhortation. We've seen some examples. A lot more I could say, but we'll go on. The exercise of Christ-like thinking. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Let's rush through this because we have to for time. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not earning your salvation. That's because of what's been given you, you live for the Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it goes on. The idea here is saying, I want to submit my mind, my desires, my life goals, my ambitions, my pleasures, my efforts, all of it to what God wants from my life. That's what Jesus did for us. How dare we do anything less? I had a friend many years ago. We looked alike. We were very much alike. Many people got us confused in high school. I was left half. He was left striker on the soccer team. I drove a blue Mustang. He drove a red Mustang. One summer, without talking about it, we sold our Mustangs and both bought yellow cars. Mine was a Torino. His was a Ranchero, the pickup truck version of my car. You parked them side by side, and we hadn't talked about this. You looked at the grills. They were the same year, the same front of the car. His had a pickup in the back. Mine had an extra seat and a trunk. We got married on the same day. And on our honeymoon, walked into a candy shop on Mackinac Island and ran into each other. We were very much alike. But there was a difference. He told me one day, he says, I can make it in this world and I'm going to do it. I said, I'm going to serve the Lord. And everything since that time has been very different. I wish he'd had the same mind. I think he's come around to that. I've seen him recently and he seems to have come back to that thinking. Praise the Lord for that. We need the mind of Christ to be thinking, to submit our wills, and then to do of His good pleasure. What happens when this happens? In Jesus Christ's situation, and we've got to move here, God highly exalted Him, gave Him a name that's above every name. And the things in heaven, and the things here, and the things in hell, will all one day kneel and recognize Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. He was exalted because He humbled Himself. He is exalted eternally because He humbled Himself. And you and I, as we take on the mind of Christ and we think like Christ, we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift us up and use us and glorify Himself through us. Go back to verse 14 of chapter 2. Do all things, everything, without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the name of in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The whole idea here is, if we have the mind of Christ, there will not be strife among us. Our homes will have joy and peace. Our marriages will have joy and peace. Our relationships with the world will be joyful and peaceful because they'll recognize something different about us. Oh, they may not want it, but they'll know there's something different about it. And others will be drawn to the Lord because of it. This passage is loaded. Let's go to one final passage. The other place that talks about like-minded. Like-minded is in verse 2 of Philippians 2, verse 20 of chapter 2. And the only other place in Scripture where you're going to see this idea of being like-minded is Romans chapter 15. And we have to end here. How do we live like Christ? How do we think like Christ? How do we get this Christ-like mind? Verse 1 of chapter 15 in Romans. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, even as Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be, what's that word? Like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of being Christ-like mind, like-minded. To bring glory to God and good to others. Is that where you are? Is that the way you think? If not, what is it that you need to submit to the Lord? What is it that you need to give up? What ambition is keeping you from being all that God wants you to be in this matter of like-mindedness to the Christ who died for us? Father, we pray that you will help us to search our own hearts and to see where there's pride and wickedness and ambition that is not like you. and to confess that to you and to be purged of that sin so that we can be used of you, so that you can be pleased with our lives. Help us to think like Jesus so we will live like Jesus. Help us to be real Christians in mind and in our actions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.